7 in the afternoon. And, you know, sometimes people think they want to know about their past and who they're related to and how it all comes together. For me, that's too scary a subject to find out about. I'd rather just say, I don't know and I don't want to know. Might find out some relatives that I had that I wish I didn't know. But today, my very special guest is Yvonne Hudgens. And, of course, genealogy has become such a fascination for so many people. You know, we keep finding out who's related to who, and it's kind of unbelievable when you find out the connections here. So my very special guest today, Yvonne Hudgens from the Greenwood Library. She is in charge of the reference with the adult, and, of course, that leads into genealogy. So welcome today, Yvonne. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
And it's good to have you here.
Thank you so much.
So you are originally right up the street from us in Abbeville.
That's correct, Abbeville, South Carolina.
Not very far at all. And you went to Lander University.
Yes, except at the time it was Lander College.
That's right. Were you a Lander Lily?
Yes, I was. A Lander Lily.
Lander Lily, that's right. Yes. Well, when you were growing up, Yvonne, what did you think you wanted to be?
Growing up, I really wanted to be a teacher. However, when I did my student teaching in college and I was working with middle school students, that age group, I realized that teaching, this isn't something I want to do. So while at Lander, I had worked as a work-study student in the library, and I was very close to the director there in the library, Mrs. Anne Hare. I was really close to her. She was a mentor to me.
And she was there for a long time.
She
just retired in the last few years.
Yeah, last two or three years.
Right.
Anyway, I was talking to her about my student teaching and realizing that I had made a mistake. It wasn't really what I wanted to do. So she knew that, and she was saying, well, Yvonne, by the time you graduate, there will be a position opening up. So she offered that position to me, and I've been in library work ever since, which has been a really good choice.
What makes library work special for you? What do you like about it?
I like helping people. I like meeting people. And working in a library is a lifelong learning experience, because as people come in needing information to find information on all different sorts of topics, and by helping them to locate information at the same time, you know, you continue to learn on about many different topics. So that's what's so interesting about it to me.
Absolutely. Now, you know, when you're just talking about library science, gosh, that has changed. Gosh, in the last 10, 15 years, it's changed.
It really has. It's so different now. You have all of the technology now. You have the electronic databases, the periodical databases, whereas when I was in school, I don't know if any of you remember, but the Reader's Guide to Periodical Literature, the print indexes, and now with the electronic periodical databases, you just enter your search and it pulls up articles for you. Online articles, you can click on full text, print the actual articles out, and also the online catalog. I remember back in my day when we had the actual physical catalog with all the cards
right.
and the drawers. So,
let's see, that was called the Dewey Decimals, wasn't it? What was it called in the where you had all the decimals and everything?
Well, we still have the Dewey Decimal System in the Library of Congress, but we just have a different way of displaying it. It's electronic now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Our online catalog, OPAC, Online Public Access Catalog.
So couldn't do it without it now, could you?
No, it makes me wonder how I ever got along without it, but, you know, It was different back then, and that was all we had. But it's wonderful to have all of this new technology now. And if I mentioned to my son about the catalog or a periodical index, it's a print periodical index, if he looks at me, "Mama, what are you talking about?" He complains sometimes about having to do research, and I said, "Well, Michael, if you grew up in my day,
in the dark ages,
I'm kind of dating myself here, but you would realize how easy you really have it now."
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that certainly makes it easier when you get into genealogy and all these things. It certainly has changed the study of that, too,
yeah,
hasn't it?
It sure has. There's so many resources that you can find online. It's not quite as tedious as it used to be. And time-consuming. I mean, it's still time-consuming, but it could be even far more time-consuming, and with so many resources available online, you can just go to the computer and access those resources without actually having to travel to different places to locate information.
Sure. Back in the day, I think you actually, what did you have to do? You actually physically had to go to that library. You didn't have that connection.
Right. So,
if you weren't from that area, you wanted to find out about your family, it was quite an arduous task.
Correct. But you still, you still have to do some travel, but not like in the old days when online resources were not available.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of records and things are online now.
Yes, that's true. Hey, we're here with Yvonne Hudgens today right here on Meet Me at the Diner. She, of course, is the reference service coordinator at the Greenwood County Library, and that has to do a lot with a lot of other issues, but also genealogy. And we thought with so many people interested in it, it would be a great time to have Yvonne here talk about some of the ways that you can go about finding family and how the library works with you to help you find these things. So we have a great reference library there. We're going to talk more about that. And if you've got a question, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We are here with Yvonne Hudgens from the Greenwood County Library. Let's hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We have Yvonne Hudgens of the Greenwood County Library. She is the reference service coordinator, and, part of that is genealogy. So, Yvonne, how has it been since you've moved? You were in the old library. In fact, yesterday, just for the record, I was in the old library. You would not believe how the library is coming along as the new Veterans Center that it's going to be. The children's room is going to be offices for the Veterans Center. Back in the main room right there, they're going to have a beautiful museum set up there. So it really is giving new life to the old library. But tell us how the new library is.
Everything's fantastic. It's like, sometimes I even still pinch myself.
Because you have so much room, yes?
So much room, and it's so spacious. It's really a beautiful building. We're really very, very proud of it, and we get lots of compliments. And we still have people who come in for the very first time, and they say, "Wow, this is really nice." And then we have people come in from out of town, and they say, "This is a nice building. When was this built?" And I say, "Well, still relatively new. We moved in October 2010, so we're really proud of our building." And
are you totally settled into everything now?
Pretty much so. Yes, we are, and we have lots of room and room to grow and space.
From the teen room to the
There's a teen room, and we have our really nice computer lab area.
That's on the second floor.
Yes, that's on the second floor, adult reference services, and that's really heavily used. And it's really good that we have so many more computers now, 25 to 30 computers that are heavily used. We have people coming in to do job searching, work on their resumes, actually to file their unemployment benefits, students coming in to do assignments. So it's wonderful to have that available for them.
Now, one of the other things that's available is the Freeding. That's a brand new service. Before we actually start talking about genealogy, tell us how that's working.
Oh, that's wonderful. We have patrons coming in who have e-readers. They bring their e-readers in. Some have Nooks. Some have Kindles. And some have iPads. And so they're really excited about our e-book collection. We have Freeding, and we have the Jasmine Digital Collection, and that's being heavily used. And they come in, and we actually have instructions for each of the different e-readers, and we'll help them one-on-one. They're in the library, and we'll show them exactly the steps they need to take to download the e-book. So that's fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. And, of course, the Friends of the Library are the ones that are actually, what shall we say, footing the bill for this as an experiment to see how it works.
Yes, they are.
So kudos to the Friends of the Library.
Yes, exactly.
Couldn't do without the Friends of the Library.
That's right.
That's true. Okay. All right. Well, listen, you know, of course, there at the library, you have a huge area, a huge room, I guess we could say, that has a lot of reference material and everything for the genealogy room.
Mm-hmm. We do, and the genealogy room is staffed by volunteers, so we're really lucky to have the volunteers who work in the genealogy room where they can assist patrons who want to get started on their family history research. They're able to help them one-on-one, sit down with them, and go through the steps with them step by step, and actually show them how to do their family history research. And we have some really skilled genealogy volunteers. Actually, we could use some more genealogy volunteers. So if there's anyone out there who has a basic knowledge of genealogy, and if you're interested in helping people, would you please think about becoming a genealogy?
What would they have to do if they wanted to volunteer at the library for this?
Well, they need to contact Dana Ellis. She's our volunteer coordinator at the library. The number is 941-4654. And let her know you're interested, and the library will provide training for you. We offer workshops from time to time. And also, you'll get to work with one of our experienced genealogy volunteers. And
kind of like a mentor type thing.
Right. You get to shadow for a while before we actually turn you loose. And so you'll get the training that you need, so don't worry about that.
I guess the other thing is you can be pretty flexible on the hours that someone is available, or if they're going to take a trip and they don't want to do it, it's not a problem, is it?
Right, exactly. When you volunteer,
not like you have a real job and you got to show up every day, right?
Although if we schedule you for certain hours,
sure,
we would.
They want you there, but I'm saying.
Yeah, right, it's flexible.
It's very flexible.
Very
schedule.
Flexible.
But right now, and I guess is this because of the hours that you have volunteers available, that you're not open all the time, are you, for the genealogy?
Yes, that's correct. And we would like to have the genealogy room open more hours. So that's why we would like to have more people show interest in volunteering.
Absolutely.
That would be fantastic if we could get more volunteers.
Have you done your family tree?
I've done some.
Did you get scared? Well, you know that show, Are You Scared? Yeah, that's how I feel. Are you scared, Ann? Yes, I am.
Well, I've done my maternal family line. Actually, on my mother's side of the family, there was oral history passed down from generation to generation. So that has really helped.
You had that going into this.
I did.
Right.
I did. Now, with my father's side of the family, I've run into some roadblocks. So I'm still working on that. It's been the searching. It can get tedious at times, but when you get frustrated, you just have to take a break, step back, set it aside for a while and then get started back. Because with African American genealogy, it's quite different from your traditional genealogy research because of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And when you reach that 1870 census mark there, mm-hmm. Prior to that, during slavery, as you know, the records,
aren't
there.
Right.
So you have to go about doing your research slightly different. And, of course, there are the slave schedules that the 1850 and the 1860 slave schedules that were supplements to the, federal census during those years. However, with the slave schedules, it only listed the slave owner, no names for the slaves, you only had the age, the sex, and the color. So,
there wasn't a lot of work with.
A lot to work with, but there are ways of, getting around that.
Do people then trace it all the way back to going to Africa, shall we say? How do they trace it back like that?
Well, now there's DNA testing, but there are some records out there. One thing that's out there, the Freedmen's Record, well, that doesn't take you all the way back to your African village.
Right.
Yeah. But it takes you further back. If by chance, after the slaves were freed, there were some African Americans who put their money into the Freedmen's Bank, and you have those records to work with. And there's the Freedmen's Bureau. You can get records
there. So there's ways to work the records back.
And then there's some military records, because some African Americans fought in the Civil War.
Sure.
In the Revolutionary War, and there are pensioners' records and that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there are ways to do it. It's just a little more difficult, I guess.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
But it's always interesting, particularly when you talk about the movie Roots. I think a lot of people actually got very interested based on that movie, didn't they?
They did. Me for one.
You for one?
Yeah. I was thinking, I would like to one day know, what African village I descended from.
Well, that's cool. Yeah. Well, we are here at Sharp Vassa's Gallery. We are talking to Yvonne Hutchins. If you have a question for her, don't hesitate to give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We're going to join South Carolina News in Progress, and we'll be right back. We're here with Yvonne Hutchins. She is the Reference Service Coordinator at the Greenwood County Library. She has you were telling me how much time it can actually take to do this type of project, and of course when you consider the slaves and everything, that made it more difficult. But you had an interesting tip about checking the slave owners and their wills and everything.
Right. What you want to do is get the slave owner's name. And another way that you can find information on your ancestors is once you determine the slave owner's name, you want to look for wills and estate records. And sometimes they mention the actual names of the slaves. So you can get information that way. Also, you want to learn as much as possible about the slave owner and the different locations and sometimes land records and deeds. That gives you an idea of the areas, the different areas your ancestors lived.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, right?
There sure is.
And I guess you have to be pretty creative. But, you know, one of the questions I wanted to ask you is, you know, you see all the time Ancestry.com on TV and people finding out amazing things about their past and everything. Is it that good?
Oh, that's wonderful. That's fantastic. I think the program, Do You Know Who You Are?
Right, yeah.
I think that's generated lots and lots of interest in genealogy. We've seen a considerable increase in requests for genealogy services and assistance at the library.
Sure. Yeah. Now, of course, that Ancestry.com, though, you were telling me costs anywhere from $200 to $300 a year.
It does.
For a subscription.
Right. It can get expensive, but you can save yourself some money by coming to the library. And in addition to saving money, you get help.
Right. So you're not out there alone. Now, the genealogy room right there is actually was given to the Greenwood County Library in honor of Dowdy and Jack Lawrence and Becky and Ben Lawrence. So that was a pretty cool donation.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Uh-huh. Benefactors.
Benefactors are always good. And, of course, but it's not open all the time.
Right. Since we have to use genealogy volunteers to staff the genealogy room, we aren't able to open it during all of the library hours. However, if you come in and it's not open, you can always get assistance at the reference desk. We're there. So, you know, if it's not open, don't feel like you can't get assistance. We will definitely help you.
But you said it would be a good idea to call and make sure if you want to be able to get the full meal deal at the reference of the genealogy room.
Exactly. Call ahead of time to make sure that the volunteer is there, is scheduled. But like I said, you can still get help if the genealogy room by chance is closed.
Now, what is in the genealogy room?
In the genealogy room, we have South Carolina County histories. We have family histories that have been donated. We have church histories.
Yes, churches would be a good place to look, wouldn't they?
Yeah. Church records.
Yeah.
They have lots of information in them, too.
Quite often pictures, I would presume, too. Do they usually have the picture with, you know, where they take the yearly picture and everything?
Well, I would guess for some.
For some,
yeah. Yeah. We have our city directories. We have cemetery surveys. We have a vertical file index. We also have microfilm for our historical newspapers. We have microfilm for the Abbeville, Greenwood, and Edgefield newspapers as far back as the 1800s. So we have lots of different resources that are available. We have a biography section in there also.
Lots of good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just wanted an overview because I haven't actually been in the genealogy room. Mm-hmm. I've seen it, and I know there's a lot of good stuff
mm-hmm.
in there. So,
correct.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
And we have some historical maps also. Marriage records indexes for South Carolina. Indexes to land deeds and that kind of material. So we have lots of different resources that are available to you. And then we have our obituary index. Actually, we could use more volunteers to work on our obituary index.
What exactly is that, Yvonne?
The obituary index is a project in which obituaries have been abstracted from the Greenwood Index Journal and placed into our index that's accessible.
Is this digital or scanned in and digital, or how exactly is it done?
Well, it's used internally. Remote access. We don't have remote access to it yet for our patrons. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. Yes, it is. I'm thinking about something else. It is accessible to patrons outside of the library. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, no, but I'm just saying it's scanned. Is that what you're doing, scanning them in, or how exactly?
Well, actually, we go through the actual obituaries from the microfilm. It's taken
mm-hmm.
from the microfilm. And abstracted and typed up. It's not scanned.
Oh, okay.
And then it's actually uploaded to that file.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is, I guess, an ongoing project. This is
right. It is. It is. Uh huh. And we could use more volunteers because we still have lots more years of obituaries to do.
So if somebody was interested in just working and uploading and getting these, that would be an excellent project.
That
they could come and work at their pace?
Right. If they aren't actually interested in assisting patrons with genealogy research, they could work on that particular project.
Wow. So if you just would like to be quiet and read old obituaries, hey, this could be a project for you.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are having an excellent time talking about genealogy today. Do you know your past? Do you want to know your past? If you do, you can start at the Greenwood County Library. They have an excellent program over there. They have volunteers. They are always looking for volunteers to help out on this. And I guess a plus side of that is you get to work on your own and see what you can find out about yourself. So excellent opportunities. They also have workshops. Training and support is provided. Schedules, of course, can be flexible. So you ought to call Dana Ellis. If you'd like to be a volunteer coordinator or volunteer, call Dana Ellis, who is the volunteer coordinator, at 941-4654. That's 941-4654. 1-800-795-4. Hey, we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. When we come back, we'll be talking more about what is going on with genealogy right here at the Greenwood County Library. Don't you go away.
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood, 229-6276.
Monday, happy days. Tuesday, Wednesday, happy days. Thursday, Friday,
all right,
happy days.
We're back here at Sharp Facets Gallery. It's coming up on that 5 o'clock hour, and you know what that means. When we get finished with the diner show, it's going to be time for happy hour. That's right. Maybe, Yvonne, you want to stick around for happy hour here? We'll be having a de-stressing time here. We play a little music, we tell a few jokes, and maybe we even have a few cheers here. So what is going on? Let's check the weather right now and see what we're looking for this afternoon or this evening on the weather. If I, let's see, maybe we can get some weather here. That's right. Right now here in Greenwood, it is 61 degrees and cloudy out there. What are we looking for this evening? Well, partly cloudy skies, low of 56. Now, tomorrow they say it's going to be a mix of clouds and sun with a chance of an isolated thunderstorm in the afternoon, high near 79. Winds, a little bit of winds, chance of rain 30%, and then tomorrow night a stray thunderstorm in the afternoon and evening, low of 59. But you know, it's Friday tomorrow, folks, and of course tomorrow means it'll be giveaway Friday right here between 4 and 5 right here on WCRS right here in Greenwood. So, gosh, that's what's going on the weather. While we've got a second, until we'll get back to Yvonne in just a second, let's see what the price of gold did today. We've been very busy with gold. Hard to make a decision what to do. To sell or not to sell, that is always the question. But, you know, when you need to sell, you need to sell. Right now, gold is, let's see if we get the latest figure right here for the end-of-day figures on gold. When you need to sell, though, you need to sell. And the thing about it, gold is, even though it's not at its highest right now, it is at a good steady price, $1,643 on gold. Silver closed out up 13 cents at $31.76. So gold and silver at a good solid place. If you've got it to sell, as somebody said, I've been telling everybody, and you guys are fair, and you take into account not only the gold, but the diamonds and the colored stones too. So bring it here. Let us give you the most around for what you're looking for in gold, or when you're looking to sell gold or silver. All right. Well, we were talking a little bit about this obituary index, and this is a project in progress.
Exactly.
And that's a big project when you think of, gosh, they put obituaries in the newspaper 365 days a year. And you have a lot of years to do, and so you were telling me you'd love to have some more volunteers who would love to just work on getting this done. Now, I was asking you, did you start from the oldest, or have you started with the most recent going back? How are you going about getting these obituaries on there?
Depending on, we have staff. Some of my staff works on getting obituaries indexed, and we have volunteers who are working on this project. And depending on what year you would like to choose, you get to choose a year that interests you. You choose that year, and then you go through the microfilm for the newspaper that year, starting at the beginning of the year, and you just go through abstracting the obituaries and placing that information in a list, and that information, once that year is completed, that information is uploaded to our obituary index, and a link is created for that year. So when you're looking at the obituary index, if that year is a link, that year has been completed, and you can access that year and get the abstracted information for a person, abstracted information for his obituary. And therefore, you have that information, you have dates, so you can actually go to pull that date in the newspaper and get the full obituary where you can get information. And,
sure,
of course, the obituary includes information that's going to help you with your genealogy research.
Sure. Now, but you don't have it done from the 1860s forward. It's just so you'll find random years,
right.
I guess, is my question.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
And that's why you'd love to be able to fill it in.
Right, correct.
So if you'd like to work on that project, that really has got to be a project of love there.
It does.
It's a huge undertaking.
Right. This would have to be something you would really be interested in doing.
Yeah.
But at the same time that you're going through the microfilm, you see interesting articles, especially the much earlier years.
Yeah
I've found many different interesting articles.
Yeah, I guess that's part of the, searching and everything. You never know what's going to pop up and what you're going to find, not maybe in the search that you are actually looking for, but in just seeing something in an article that as you're looking for one particular thing.
That's correct.
So that's terrific. Well, whether you have started doing it and just maybe gotten away from it, or maybe you want to get back to it, or maybe you've never done it before, you know, if somebody doesn't know anything about doing it but they have an interest, can you show them how to do it?
Oh, sure. You're speaking of the obituary index or genealogy?
Genealogy in general, yeah.
Yes, most people think that it's really difficult to get started with your genealogy research. But it's not difficult to learn. I actually learned a lot just by doing, and you can also. But with genealogy research, you're really going to have to be organized. You're going to have lots of information that you're pulling together, so you're going to have it organized, or it's going to get frustrating, and you're going to have a mess. So you want to use a pedigree chart, and a pedigree chart is a family tree chart. And with the pedigree chart, what you're going to do is you're going to start with yourself. Start with yourself and work backwards. And on that pedigree chart, you're going to list your spouse. First of all, you're going to list you, your date of birth, your location of birth, and you're going to do the same thing for your spouse. And then you're going to work your way backwards. You're going to list your parents. And for your parents, for each one, you're going to list their date of birth and their location of birth. Okay? And then and for females, you're going to list the maiden name. Okay, you have your parents listed, so you're going to work backwards and list your grandparents. And for them, you're going to list the same information, and you're going to keep working your way back. And then, of course, you may have some missing information as far as dates and location of birth and, you know, that kind of information. But go ahead and start that first. And
so you can't just jump all the way back, can you, Yvonne?
And go forward. You have to start with yourself and work generation by generation, going backwards,
sure,
and gathering as much information as you can. List all of that on your pedigree chart. That's the way to, you know, kind of keep
you
organized.
See, now you got me interested because you told me I might be pedigreed here, see? And that's right. So,
okay. Okay, and the next step is you want to start hunting for clues, and this can be one of the most interesting components of your research. And a lot of items that you have, you don't realize the value of that, of what you have. Like old letters, you know, old letters may have dates and names, and on the, if the actual envelope is still there with the letter, it's going to have a postmark as well as a destination and a return address, which can be used to fix two people at specific places at a particular time. Also, in your home, you may have newspaper clippings that have been saved and passed down from generation to generation, postcards. You have your family Bibles, school yearbooks, old photographs, and these are just some of the items that you could have in your home that's going to provide you with clues to help you fill in some of that information, you know, on your pedigree chart. And you also want to interview your relatives and find out as much information from them as you possibly can, and you want to seek out the senior most members of your family. Probably start with them first, because depending on their age, you know, they aren't going to be
they
around.
They may not be around, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh, forever. So,
a lot of good tips on how to do that. Yes,
yeah.
And you can help provide that right there at the Greenwood Library. So, it's been interesting to find out what you can do and how you can learn your history, your personal history. Yeah, yeah.
You'd be surprised at what you find out when you start interviewing.
That's why I'm not going to do that. I don't know what I might find, but for those that want to find out their history, there's a lot to do, and there's lots of services right there at the library to help you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yvonne, it's been great having you here today at the library. I know that it's only a growing thing, and I know you said hopefully maybe this fall that you're going to have some groups going on.
Right. Actually, in June, we're going to have...
Just one second. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. And what did you want to tell us?
There are going to be some more genealogy workshops given in the future. So, and information about those workshops will be gotten out to the public. So if you have a chance to attend any of them, please do so. It's a good way to, you know, learn about genealogy and get started doing your family history research.
Absolutely. And, of course, we'll be talking about that on the I Love Ann show, making sure that everybody knows that's going on. So if you let us know, we'll make sure it's out there. Yvonne, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right. That's going to do it for us right here on WCRS, right here in Greenwood. We're going to hear a word from the news and then a word from our sponsors. And, hey, did you hear South Carolina News? You know they play part of that interview I did yesterday with Curtis Loftus. Hey, don't you go away. It's almost time for happy hour. I'll be right back.